Would you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and would you stand with me? Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. As we look to the Word of God tonight, I praise the Lord for already even Pastor quoting this a portion of this passage, and it's just confirmation this is the Lord. But let's read it as if it is the very first time and take in what the Lord would have. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The title of the message are the three words in verse 1, a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I do pray that you'd work in our hearts and our lives. Help me and fill me, Lord, with your Spirit so I could preach clearly and in your power and your strength this message and your truth. Lord, do what only you can. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I don't know a lot of sign language enough to be able to interpret a message. I would do very poorly with that, but I can muddle through things and perhaps get through the gospel. But there's several signs that are very interesting and are descriptive in helping us understand certain things. For instance, the sign for disobey. If you take your fist and go like this, and it's a, if you know sign language, at least the alphabet, it's the S hand where it looks like an S right there, not like this, but like this. And you take it and then you go like this against the person to whom you're facing or speaking. So you disobey. So you want to try it? All right, everybody go like this. Now, this is probably not the best thing to do. Ask everybody to go like this towards the preacher. All right? Okay, on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, disobey. Ooh, okay. Now, if you really want to do it well, then you kind of make that look on your face, like you're defiant, you're rebellious, you know, disobeying. Okay, want to try it again? Come on, you can do it, folks. Ready? One, two, three. Ooh, some of you did really well. All right, I think you've done that before. And so that's disobey. That's interesting. Now, here's the sign for surrender, yielding or surrendering something. You take not one hand, but both hands, and then they're closed, but then you open them in front of. And you can do them fairly level. It doesn't have to be one above the other. Don't do this. It's not like, okay? Not necessarily is the idea, but the kind of. But the idea is just both hands, and they come from closed fists, and then they come up. Want to try that? Ready? One, two, three, surrender. All right. Well, that's excellent. Well, that's the idea, and it really helps us in understanding the difference between a disobedient, holding on to whatever it is I have or my will, and then also being able to open my hand in full surrender and say, Lord, you take what you want. The Bible says this, that it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants every person here to present themselves a living sacrifice set apart from this world so he can bless us with something so much better. It's interesting, as we look at this matter of sacrifice and presenting, there are many things that we think about it. Sometimes we think of this as a one-time decision, yet it would be obvious throughout this, and we're going to prove this, that it is more than a one-time decision. But let's ask a few questions about the passage tonight, and I'm going to ask you to just respond out loud. First of all, the question is this. In this passage, what does God want us to do? At least in verse 1, what's the main verb? What is the main action, the command? What does God want us to do? And so I would like for you just to say one word back, and it's in the Word of God in verse 1, the word present. So I'll ask, what does God want us to do? And you answer out loud, present. Ready? Number one, what does God want us to do? Present. Now, what does the word present mean? Present means to yield or to stand by ready. Jesus as a child in Luke 2, 22, speaking of him, they came to present him to the Lord. Samuel answered and said, speak, thy Lord, for thy servant hears. He was standing by ready. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He was standing in a ready, yielded position. It certainly is the idea of yielding, and we can see that in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to hold your place in chapter 12, or you can just quickly go back there. Romans chapter 6, find, if you will, verse 13. Romans 6:13, the same Greek word translated present in Romans 12:1 is translated yield in Romans 6:13. The Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So the idea is to surrender over or yield over to someone else. Now, in Romans chapter 6, he talks about how we are having victory over sin. We're dead to that sin. We don't have to live in under that authority or the dominance of that sin any longer. We can live victoriously. Did you realize that? Right now, you can live victoriously. And so this idea, though, we need to present. We need to yield ourselves. Is that a one-time thing? Can I just tonight say, I'm going to yield myself to God and I don't have to deal with sin or temptation anymore until I get to heaven? No. That's why we met for revival meetings again this year, because we certainly need that. Now, I wish it were that way, but obviously we still deal every day with temptation and the choice to sin or to yield or present our bodies to the Lord. And so, obviously, it's a daily decision. So in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it's not just a one-time decision. It certainly is a daily decision. I believe directional, if we could say it that way, and daily. That is, dear God, I'm not going to go my own way. Lord, I yield myself to you. I'll do whatever you want. So if I have a vocation and a job, I'm going and I'm doing this, but I've never actually once said, God, what should I do with my life? What should I do for work? And I'm still kind of holding on. But when I surrender even my vocation, my job, where I would live, all of these things. And I say, God, I'll go your way. I'll yield to you. That's directional. But certainly it would be daily of presenting ourselves or yielding ourselves, as if in Romans 6 it says, yield your members as instruments of righteousness, just like an instrument that is played. I like the instrument. One of the hymns last night, it was really fun. I heard Brother Pritchard, what instrument do you play? Baritone. And I heard him kind of go, boom, boom, boom. You know, it's kind of moving up and down. It was a vibrant hymn. Yeah. By the way, doesn't Adrian do a fine job? Yeah. If he could just have a little more volume, that would help us. You're probably the only one that can compete with my son, Jonathan. He has a lot of volume, but I'm like, yep, nope, you beat him. So he just does a great job. But I love that. Now, let's say Brother Pritchett had that baritone, and he said, hey, Brother Miller, want to try? Sure. You know what, embouchure? I said, I'm not sure what an embouchure is, but he said, here, just try it and just blow into it. And I start blowing. Well, I probably could get some type of sound, if we could say it that way. But I wouldn't be able to play the melody, or I would say, well, this is the harmony. Well, not for that song. It wouldn't be pleasant at all. It would be yielded to the wrong person. When I have it, it doesn't make sense. It is not beautiful, and it's not working together. When we have control and we're not yielded, things are going to be a mess in our life. It's not going to be a beautiful sound. God's putting together this orchestration of all these things in our life. Some things are bad. Some things are good. But God is working all of these things together for our good, so that it's for His glory and for our benefit. And He's putting all of these music notes together as you yield yourselves to Him. But if we don't, then we're not going to be able to do so, and we're going to make a mess of it ourselves. What does God want us to do? And the answer is present. Number two, what does God want us to present? Well, the answer, and according to the Bible here, it says your bodies. But let's make it personal. Let's say our bodies, our bodies. So here's the question, and then you say our bodies. Number two, what does God want us to present? And the answer is our bodies, our bodies. Now, as you look at the Word of God, of course, we saw the Greek word at least translated differently in Romans chapter 6 for present is yield. The Greek word for bodies here is very interesting. As you get into it and you study it, you can actually see that the word bodies, translated bodies here, means bodies. That's what it means. That's it. You took Greek to learn that? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I 2 years, barely made it through. All right. Okay, so it means bodies. But don't you mean that God wants our talents here? No, he said bodies. Well, wait a minute. What about your personality? Bodies is what he asked for. But what about our heart and our mind and all of these things? Okay, but he said your bodies. Now, isn't this interesting? He doesn't ask for all those that are talented here. If you can sing like the special or lead a song, or you can play an instrument, or piano, that would be great. Okay, you surrender. Okay, everybody else, we're just kind of stuck, you know. Or he doesn't ask you with a great ability, if you have a great ability. For instance, let me ask this tonight. Who here would say, Brother Miller, I have some type of music ability. Maybe you sing in the choir, maybe a special, play an instrument, or whatever, more than playing a radio. You could play something. You have some type of musical talent, I guess I should say. Could you raise your hand? Okay. All right. So that's great. So that's tremendous. And there's quite a few here, and that's wonderful. And I could tell even from the congregation. But what about this? What about, let's say, how about personality? You say, who here would say, I have an outgoing personality. I'm pretty outgoing. You could talk to anybody. You could talk to a tree. You can out-talk the telemarketer. You wake up, you're pleasant throughout the day. You're pretty, outgoing personality. Anybody like that? Okay, there's a few here. Okay, there's a number. I think so. Usually they're like, yes, that's my son. My son Jonathan, he's like a mini Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you've ever heard him in the past. So I'm like, wow. So he got the outgoing personality. How about this? Who here would say, Brother Miller, I did well at school, or maybe you're still in school, and so this is very revealing for the college students that are home. But I did well at school in math and science, not a 4.0 necessarily, but I did well in those things. And now folks, sometimes the older we are, older we get, the better we were, So let's be accurate, okay? And remember, okay? So how many here is I did well in school, okay, in academics? Okay, well, that's fantastic. Okay, now, the rest of us, we can go home, all right? is that it? You say, Brother Miller, I can raise my hand, or I can only raise my hand for one thing. Well, what if we can't play a musical instrument, or we can't sing? You say, Brother Miller, I sing in the shower, and the shower stops. I mean, is that bad? Personality, I can't talk to a tree. I am the tree, I just have a hard time with words and, talking to people. Or perhaps academics. No, I didn't do well. I got an F, and I thought that was fantastic. D. D was for dynamite. C was for correct. B was for bad. I didn't get those. A's for ignorant. If you didn't get the joke, okay, then you fall into that category. And so you say, Brother Miller, I don't have these things. Well, isn't it good that he doesn't say, if you have all these talents, then you can give yourself to the Lord? No, he said, do you have a body? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me ask this. Okay, even out in the cry section back there, okay, that are watching out there, how many of you have a body? Okay. Some of you aren't participating. I'm having a hard time with it. Okay, aren't you glad about this, that God says, okay, that's what I want. God wants literally your bodies presented to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 talks about this, that he would sanctify you wholly, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the Lord, coming to the Lord. What God wants to do is from the inside out, work his way through you, but he has to, his life through you, but he has to have your body. Why? To be a living sacrifice. And that leads us to the third question. Why does God want us to present our bodies to him? Why does God want us to present our bodies to him? And the answer, can we say this? To be a living sacrifice. So the answer that you'll say out loud is to be a living sacrifice. Here's the question. Are you ready? Number three, why does God want us to present our bodies to him? And the answer is to be a living sacrifice. So he wants to be a living sacrifice through your body. as 2 Corinthians 4 says, through your mortal body, to be able to live through you. It is the Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is Christ living in me, living so he can fill you with himself. Is that John chapter 7 and verse 37 of the rivers of living water flowing through you as you are thirsty for him, as the Holy Spirit is filling you and living in you and through you, the living sacrifice. If you're going to have a living sacrifice, there has to be a living part, and there has to be a sacrifice, a part that dies. Who's going to live and who's going to die? Are we going to allow self just to live and not die to self? Sacrifice, that would be me dying, myself, my will, my love, my ambitions, my desires. I'm surrendering to him. But the living part is literally the Holy Spirit empowering us to have the Lord Jesus Christ living through us, through our mortal body. When Jesus was explaining the Holy Spirit that was going to come, he said, he's going to come, another comforter will come. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. In John chapter 14. And it says, at that day, ye shall know that I am the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. Now he's speaking of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was going to come and then indwell every believer. Now the Holy Spirit is placed inside your body. He indwells in you because you have believed, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now Jesus wants your body to live through. Can I say it this way? Just like he did when he was here on this planet. When he came and he left heaven, he came and he lived down here victoriously. He said no to temptation, and he said yes to righteousness. He did the Father's will. I was just taken in my devotions today in Hebrews 5 that he learned obedience. As a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, and he yielded to the Father's will, obviously willing to come. Okay, the Lord Jesus didn't have any problem with addictions. He didn't have a problem with temptation. He didn't have a problem with sin. There wasn't anything too overwhelming. God wants to do the same through you. The Lord Jesus wants to live through your body, a living sacrifice. But then there's the idea of a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice has to die, or it's not a sacrifice. You must die before you can live. John 12, 24, the seed that is placed in the ground, it must die. If it doesn't die, it'll abide alone. The seed is, there's made up of three parts, I believe, if I'm correct with that. There's an outer shell, and there's this crust, and then there's two inner parts, but one of the parts is called, it comes from the word embryo. And it has a life in that seed. So there's actually life in the seed right there, but it can't come out until the outer shell breaks and separates. That's death. Why is it that the seed or the grain of wheat has to fall in the ground and die? What does it mean that the grain of wheat dies? It's that outer shell separating and breaking. That's what death means, separation. And then that embryo or that life can come out. When James Calvert went out to be a missionary to the cannibals in the Fiji Islands, the captain of the ship sought him to turn back. He said, "You will lose your life and the lives of those who go among such savages." Calvert only replied, "We died before we came here." They were placed in the ground and died. That is, they died to self and to self-will. A sacrifice has to die. A sacrifice gives all without compromise. There's nothing held back. It's not part of the bullock or part of the lamb that would die in a sacrifice. Oh, I'll give half of my lamb. It can't work. It all dies. Everything is given in the sacrifice in the Old Testament. Now, in that same way, we need to be a sacrifice for the Lord without compromise. I remember a teenager who was at the Bill Rice Ranch, and it was at summer camp, and we were at the place you can get snacks and such. It's called Cowboy Town, and he's standing there, and I remember vividly, because he's eating ice cream, and it's running down his fingers. I'm thinking, why can you not feel that? It's bugging me. You know, he's eating the ice cream and he's dripping. And so he eats it and takes a bite and he says, yeah, Brother Miller, I think God wants me to be a preacher. And he takes a bite. Drip, drip, drip. And I said, well, that's good. He said, yes, but I want to be a pilot. Drip, drip, drip. I said, okay. He said, well, I'm thinking maybe I could be a pilot and I could just witness for the Lord. So when people come on to the plane, I could give out tracts. And so here, you could just imagine people coming down the, is it the tarmac? Is that what it is? They come in through, and there's the stewardess. Hey, welcome to flight 747 or whatever it is. And the pilot's there, welcome. And he gives them a little a track. It says, here you go, and welcome to the flight. If you were to die today, where would you go? Not on this flight. We're going someplace else. I thought, that's probably not the best idea. What was he trying to do? He was trying to compromise. Don't we do the same thing? We try to compromise. A sacrifice gives anything and everything without selfishness. Selfishness of our resources, our finances, our time. You know, it takes time. Yes, you came to a service on a Monday night. Yes, I guess it's a level of sacrifice. Is it really that much? Is it your time or is it the Lord's? We're stewards of everything that are given. This isn't, in fact, your body isn't your body any longer. The Lord says it belongs to Him. He purchased you, in fact, twice, and He created you. And the truth is, the reality is this, is that you belong to Him. Everything we have belongs to Him. Our time belongs to Him. Our finances belong to Him. Our Cheerios belong to Him. When our kids were younger, we'd give them Cheerios. And of course, I'd have the box of Cheerios and I'd pour out the Cheerios. Maybe they have 10 Cheerios on there. And they're, grabbing the Cheerio and, trying to get it in. Sometimes it misses and it goes down and you get the bibs that try to catch it and it's all the slobbery Cheerios. And, they're eating. And I say, hey, give daddy a Cheerio. At that point, what do? They grab them even faster. They're like mine, they're just shoving it in. Now, do I really need their slobbery, soggy Cheerio, nor do I want it? No, not really. I wanted to teach them something. If they gave me one of their Cheerios out of the 10, I could easily pour out more Cheerios. I don't need their Cheerios. I've got the whole box right here, and I know where there's more. But they're just so selfish. No, mine. No, mine. Oh, I can't give. You want me to give you one out of my 10? You want me to give two out of my 10? Three? I couldn't. I could never. If God's directing you to give, just think about it. Do you think that's Satan, or do you think God is placing that on your heart and your mind? Now, for us and for me, God very clearly showed me yesterday and today, there's somebody we need to give to and we're going to, and I know at least a base amount that we're going to do. And I'm asking, Lord, is there more that I can give? Because I know as I give, then He says, okay, I'll pour you out a blessing. He's got the whole box of Cheerios ready to pour out. Are you holding back things from the Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice even those resources that the Lord's entrusted you to steward over in your life? It is your reasonable service. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart from sin and the world, acceptable unto God, where He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. What if I gave my life to the Lord as a martyr? Now we think, wow, it's a lot to be able to come to church a whole week. Is it? It's a lot to give of my Saturday to serve the Lord. It's a lot to be a part of an outreach. It's a lot to prepare a lesson for a Sunday school or a this or that. What if I had the privilege and the honor to die as a martyr for the Lord Jesus? I would hope I would be bold and I'd be spirit-filled. That would be the only way that I could be calm and bold and be willing in a right spirit to die like that. But you know what it would be? It would be reasonable. Reasonable for what the Lord Jesus did and did through me. As I read Hebrews 5, it talks about the tears and the grief, and he prayed long prayers and tears and weeping. That's talking about Jesus. In the garden, some of them say it's hemerythrosis. It's where there's actually bloody sweat. Actually, it says as sweats of blood. Some think, yes, it was, where sweat glands tiny capillaries in the sweat glands can break, thus mixing blood with sweat. It happens when the body's under great trauma and incredible stress of something that they're facing. Some say that actually could have been bloody sweat in the garden when Jesus prayed. It was intense. As the soldiers came and Judas betrayed him with a kiss, and then they all fell backward when he said, "I am he." And then they took him. He went willingly. Of course, the scourging of the back and the lacerations of the back, the shoulders, the legs, it would first cut through just the small surface areas, then later to the subcutaneous tissues and producing an oozing of blood. Medical professionals would document several of these things that would be so painful. But then what would happen next is after his whipping and his scourging, then the robe would be placed upon his back, which then would adhere to the blood. When it was then later ripped off, it probably had dried, or at least had some clotting. And then when it was ripped off, it would be like ripping off a bandage and beginning to bleed and open the wound again. And then when he's on the cross, that rough timber, and he's going up and down with that lacerated back. Of course, you have the pain through the nails in the hands and the feet. Excruciating. When we say, "Lord, I'm doing this as a sacrifice," let's think about that. And let's say, it is reasonable. It's reasonable for what the Lord has done. Would we say, "God, help me not to hold back"? But what would help us, what would cause us to hold back? In fact, that gives me the last question. What will stop us from presenting our bodies to be a living sacrifice? What will stop us? Now think about that. What will stop us from presenting our bodies to be a living sacrifice? Let's say on a daily basis, or just saying, even I'm going through a struggle, but I'm willing to go through even that suffering or that difficulty, and Lord, I'm willing to do so for you. I'll sacrifice. What would stop us? And the answer is being conformed to this world. Being conformed to this world. We're going to see that in verse 2. But could you answer that out loud when I ask the question for number 4? Could you answer being conformed to this world? Here's the question. What will stop us from presenting our bodies to being a sacrifice? And the answer is being conformed to this world. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to this world. The idea is to take the shape of this world, to shape it like you would a Play-Doh, and you can form it and shape it, and now it has that form because it's soft and it's pliable. Don't allow the world to shape you or conform you, make you into their form. But notice the word form is in another word, but be transformed. Here is the idea of metamorphosis. Changing from the inside out, as the caterpillar becomes this beautiful butterfly, everything that the caterpillar needs to be able to become this absolutely beautiful butterfly is inside this fat, limited to just crawling along this stem, this ugly, not much to it caterpillar. You know, without Christ, that's what we are. But with Christ, when he does that metamorphosis, God sees us as a beautiful caterpillar, but the beautiful butterfly, to take flight, to be able to fulfill his purpose. Look, again, you are different now because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in and through your life. But if we say no, when we allow the love for the world and those things for the world to come in, and we're shaped in our thinking, we're shaped in our mind in these things, it's going to cause us to stop. But then that's why it says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, that is acceptable unto me, and perfect will of God. It's here is God's will for me. You know what? It's good. It is acceptable. And it's perfect. It's complete. It's designed, in fact, for me, it's awesome. You say, Brother Miller, you don't live in a house. You live in a trailer. I know. And I love it. It's a house on wheels. When I don't like my neighbors, I leave at the end of the week. Or they make me leave. and so I can be able to do so. You know, it's a great, I wouldn't do anything else. If you said, hey, there's a position over here, and it's a six-digit, figure position. We'd like for you, you could have a stable house, you could have a nice home for the first time, you could do this and this and this and this. And I'd say, no, thank you. So, well, what if it's a seven-digit? I'd say, let me think of, no. No, because I've got some investments to make, but they're not here. You see, I'm not going to get them right here, but I'll get them probably in about 1,000 years. You know, I'm thinking that the returns on 1,000,000 years are probably a little bit better. You see, this is a short time, and I want to do God's will for me and for my life. Maybe for you tonight, you say, Lord, I need to just say, Lord, in your direction, whatever it is, I'll directionally yield to you. Or maybe for you, you'd say, Brother Miller, just on a daily basis, I need to present my body. I don't know if I've actually consciously in the last couple of months or month or week really thought, God, my body belongs to you. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. I'm presenting my body for you to have control of me today. Why don't you say, I want to do that on a daily basis? You don't have to do it in those words. You yield yourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, well, I read my Bible today. I prayed. Well, that's great. Did you yield your body? Well, I learned something from the Lord, and I do want to draw closer. Okay, but did you yield yourself to be filled with him and filled with the Holy Spirit? You see, there's a difference there. It's a conscious decision of yielding and giving over to the Lord. Would you make that decision tonight? Don't be the closed fist. God, I'm not going to do this, but I rebel. But open your hand because God wants to do something so much better. You know, it's interesting in Exodus in chapter 32 in verse 29, the Bible says, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. The idea of the consecrate in general would be the idea of you're giving yourself over, you're dedicating yourself to the Lord. But it comes from a Hebrew word that's a compound word. And it means to fill or to fill the hand. Now, oftentimes, that word, same Hebrew word, is translated 75% of the time, fill or full or fulfill. But here it's consecrate. It's interesting. It means to fill the hand. Specifically, the open hand. So here is this great word. And God says, consecrate yourself today to the Lord. And he's talking about them. Come over from the golden calf side. Come, who's on the Lord's side? Come on over here. Would you come over to the Lord? I have something. So you know why? Why did he do that? So God can make our lives miserable? No, so I can bestow a blessing upon you this day, he says in Exodus 32. But it's to fill the open hand, the one that's being willing to open their hand to the Lord. Now, I didn't ask ahead of time, but I'm going to ask a young man to help me out. Would you mind helping me out with an illustration? Yeah, come on up. I forgot your name. Titus, come on up, Titus. How old are you, Titus? 14, okay. I have a, you know what this is right here? Actually, it's like 27 cents. Before the service is over, it's going to be less than that as well. Okay, so it used to be a dollar bill. Okay, all right. But this is a dollar bill. Okay, would you like to have the dollar bill? Sure. Okay, so he opens his hand, he takes the dollar bill. Okay, so now I'd just like to illustrate something tonight, if I would. Now, I want you to, you can fold it or however you want to, but I want you to put it in your hand and just, you know, make it where it's a fist. So it's inside, and there you go. Okay, all right, now I'm going to throw a ball to you, and I want, not with that hand, but with this hand. I want to see if you can catch it, okay? All right, think you can try it? Okay, well, let's try. Okay, see if we can catch it. Okay, here it goes. Oh, no, he missed it. Okay, let's try it again. Okay, ready? Okay, and oh, no, he missed it again. Now, one time I did this, and I just kind of lobbed it, and the kid caught it on his fist, and the crowd erupted, and it ruined my illustration. So thank you for not ruining my illustration. Afterwards, we tried it with my sons, and they couldn't catch it. I'm like, how did that kid do that? I don't know. But he couldn't do it. Okay, now, why? Well, obviously, because his fist is closed. What if he says, you know, I have this dollar, I want to make it off this platform with a dollar, not with one of these balls, you know? I'd rather have the dollar. Okay, would you be willing to give up the dollar? Okay, all right, so you give up the dollar, I'll take the dollar back. You say, you mean... Preacher, yes, it's my dollar. My 27 cents. Okay, want to try it again? I got a ball here. Okay, ready? You can use it with open hands, see if you can catch it. All right, now look at that ball. What's on that one?
$10.
Now, which one's better? $10. Which one would you like to keep?
$10.
I'll take the ball back. Thank you. You can be seated. You know what? Oftentimes we're holding back and we've got this, whatever it is, in our hand. Oh, this is so valuable. This is so important to me. God says, okay, I've got these things. And wow, that's just a little, I don't want that. I don't want that. What value is that to me? But God wants to bestow upon us a blessing so much better, 10 times better. If we just say, Lord, I give this little thing to you and I open my hand. Moses, when he was called of the Lord, he had that rod. What's in your hand, Moses? It's just a rod. Throw it down. This is all I have. It's just a rod. I've just been a shepherd. This is all I know. Just throw it down. I want you to speak. I can't speak. Just throw it down. And it becomes a snake. More importantly, it becomes the rod of God. Pick it up. No, I don't know if I should do that. No, pick it up. He picks up, and thankfully, now, when he looks at that thing, wow, what do you have in your hand? Something so much better, something so much more powerful. God wants to replace what you have if you're willing to say, dear God, here I am, here is my body. On a daily basis, would you do this, even with whatever the Lord would be calling you to let go? You're a steward of finances or time or this resource or that thing. What is it that God's speaking to your heart about? Would you surrender that so he can bestow upon you a blessing this day? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's be that living sacrifice.